3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Today, we end the first quarter of the book, The Christmas Reindeer, written by Thornton W. Burgess, and we'll read chapters 5 and 6. I hope that you have been enjoying this book. I always want to keep on reading the chapters when I get done recording, but I have to restrain myself and read them when it's time to record them. It is a little different reading a book by Thornton W. Burgess, and Peter Rabbit and all of our Green Forest friends are not there, but it still is a great story either way. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 5. Lost in the Fog. In from the distant sea rolled the Arctic fog. It was as if one of those great white fleecy clouds you have seen sailing high in the sky had come to earth and was being pushed forward to bury everything in its fleecy depths. Tuktu urged Whitefoot forward in the swinging trot that reindeer know. Would he be able to get her to camp before that swiftly moving fog bank would cut off all sight in any direction? She knew all about the fogs of the far Northland. Had she been at home, she would not have minded it, but to be caught far from the camp was another matter. But I can trust Whitefoot, thought Tuktu. The deer folk can find their way, even though they cannot see. So long as I am safe on the back of Whitefoot, I need not worry. Whitefoot is headed in the right direction, and he will take me safely back. The soft mist swirled about them, and Tuktu could see nothing. She could see nothing, and she could hear nothing but the clicking of Whitefoot's feet. There was no other sound. It was as if she and Whitefoot were alone in a white, wet world of silence. Click, 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 sounded Whitefoot's feet, a click with every step. It was comforting to hear that much, for each click meant a forward step, and each forward step meant so much nearer to the camp. At least, that is what Tuktu encouraged herself by thinking. I wonder where Father and Aklak are, she thought. This fog must have caught them first, for they were hunting in the direction of the sea coast. They must have seen it coming, and probably made camp. They will stay there until the fog lifts. If only I were back at the camp, I would not mind a bit. Trot, Whitefoot, trot! Remember that Tuktu is on your back, and she wants to get home. Whitefoot did trot. He trotted steadily, despite the fact that he could see nothing. His head was carried forward, and his nose out, and his nostrils were extended. With every breath, he was testing the damp air. By the motion, Tuktu could tell when he was going up a hill, and when he started down again. She was enjoying the ride. But there came a time when Tuktu began to wonder. We should be there by this time, she thought. Yes, indeed, we should be there by this time. Whitefoot has been traveling so fast that I'm sure we should have been home long ago. If he did not trot along so steadily, I should think he were lost and wandering about, but he seems to know just where he is going. Oh dear, I wish I could see just a little way. Whitefoot, what is that? Whitefoot stopped abruptly. Through the mist at one side, a dim form moved. Tuktu gave a little sigh of thankfulness and was about to drop to the ground, for she was sure that this was the other pack deer that had been left grazing near the camp. But she didn't drop, for she became aware that another dim form was on the other side of her, and she heard the muffled click, click, click of many feet, a sound that could be heard only when many deer were near. Too often had she listened to it, not to know that she was now in the midst of a herd. She heard the click in front, behind, and on both sides, and as she strained her eyes, could see dim shapes appear and disappear on all sides. "Whitefoot," she whispered. "Whitefoot, where have you taken me?" She wondered if by chance some other herd of reindeer had moved in from the sea coast on its way to the Valley of the Good Spirit. She wondered if it might be that she was in the midst of a band of caribou. She decided that this must be it. Probably Whitefoot had smelled, or perchance heard them, so had joined them. She was not afraid. Did she not know that the reindeer are the most gentle of animals? Had she not lived with them and loved them from babyhood? She would remain on Whitefoot's back and hope that the fog would lift soon. If it did not, she would stop Whitefoot and push the peg into the ground to fasten him. Then they would remain there together until such time as the fog should disappear. There was only one thing that worried Tuktu. If she had to remain there long, what should she eat? But even this did not greatly worry her, for she was sure that the fog would last but a little while, and she knew they could not be far from camp. Whitefoot no longer was trotting, nor were any of the other deer folk. All seemed to be grazing, moving along slowly as they grazed. Tuktu became drowsy. Once or twice she nodded, and the wonder was that she didn't slip from Whitefoot's back. And all about her there was the gentle click, 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 click of moving feet, and now and then the soft intake of breath and gentle sniff of grazing deer. Chapter 6. The Awakening of Tuktu. Unafraid, Tuktu rode in the midst of the great herd. How long it was before she had a chance to slip from Whitefoot's back, she had no idea. But presently, from sundry sounds, dull but unmistakable, which reached her through the fog, she knew that the deer were bedding down. They were lying down to chew the cud, as you have so often seen cattle do. Whitefoot stopped. Tuktu slipped from his back. A moment later, Whitefoot lay down. Tuktu snuggled up against his back. Despite the dampness of the fog, she was conscious of a pleasant warmth. In a few minutes, she was asleep. Tuktu was awakened by the sound of a bell. She knew it was a bell because she had once heard a bell on a ship which had come in close to the shore when they were camped there. But this bell was sweeter far than had been that bell on the ship, though that had seemed the most wonderful sound that she and Aklak had ever heard. Slowly she opened her eyes. Abruptly she sat upright and rubbed both eyes with her knuckles. Her first thought was that she was still in the fog, but when she looked up, she saw there was neither fog nor cloud. It was only when she looked below that she saw a fog, and this fog was not like any fog she had ever known. It was a mist of many colors that shimmered and blended and parted and flashed as she had so often seen the northern lights or aurora do in the winter. And somewhere, hidden by that wondrous colored mist, was that silver bell. Do you wonder that Tuktu rubbed her eyes? She was on the slope of a great hill. All about her, contentedly chewing their cuds, were the deer people. As far as she could see in either direction, and across on the sides of the opposite hill, the deer lay. She knew that not only was Kutok's herd here, but also many other herds. Never had she seen such rich pasture. Never had she seen such flowers. And there were great masses of reindeer moss, lichens, showing the season's growth. No wonder the deer people sought the hillsides of this wondrous valley. She caught her breath. It had come to her where she was. She knew that she was with the herd on one of the slopes of the Valley of the Good Spirit. It was just as she had heard it described around the winter fire pots, only far more beautiful. Tuktu rubbed her eyes and rubbed her eyes. Perhaps this was only a dream. She put out her hand. There was Whitefoot, contentedly chewing his cud, and Whitefoot was no dream. He was real, for even as she touched him, he bent his head and gently scratched one of his antlers with the point of a hind hoof. Again, she heard the soft, clear, silvery notes of that hidden bell. Then clearly, though faintly, she heard many other sounds. There was the blowing of trumpets, the beating of drums, fairy music coming from the heart of that wonderful mist below her, and the mist itself. Never had she seen anything so beautiful. All the colors of the rainbow, all the wondrous colors of the sunset, all the shooting, flashing fires of the aurora seemed mingled there. Tuktu knew that she ought to be afraid. Had not her father said that only from a distance had any man looked into that wondrous valley? Had she not seen fear in his eyes at the mere mention of the Valley of the Good Spirit? He, who was not afraid to meet Nanook, the polar bear, single-handed. Had she not heard the herders speak in whispers when they told of the Valley of the Good Spirit? Of a certainty, she should be afraid, but somehow she wasn't. She knew she ought to be, for she knew that she was where not even the boldest man in all the great Northland would dare to put his foot. Yet she was not afraid. It must be that the good spirit means no harm to little children, thought Tuktu. It must be that the good spirit who loves the deer folk loves also little children, or he would not have allowed Whitefoot to bring me here. I wonder what is going on below that wonderful mist. I wonder. Oh, how I wonder. But if it were meant that I should know, or that anyone should know, that mist would not be there. I guess it is all right to wonder, but it would be all wrong to try to find out. The deer people are satisfied to stay on these hills, so I will be satisfied. But there must be something very wonderful and very beautiful down there. I wish Aklak were here. He will not believe me when I tell him that I have looked into the Valley of the Good Spirit. My father will not believe me. No one will believe me. Only the deer folk will know I, Tuktu, am looking down in the Valley of the Good Spirit, and no harm has come to me. I think it must be because the spirit of love is here. The deer are rising. I wonder what that means. I must hold fast to Whitefoot, for he must take me home. Whitefoot already had scrambled to his feet. Once more, Tuktu climbed on his back. Then Whitefoot began to move toward the upper end of the valley, and Tuktu saw that all the other deer on both sides were moving in the same direction.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.